On this episode of Bite Sized, we are watching and discussing the 32nd scene of the movie Twilight. For those of you watching along at home, that is from 4037 to 4139. And now, on to the episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Bite Sized, or welcome for the first time if this is your first time being here. If this is your first time being here, here's what's happening. My name's Ben. I am your host. I am watching the movie Twilight one scene at a time and discussing it with a new guest every week. That means I send someone between 30 seconds and 3 minutes of a movie they may have seen before, and then we talk about it for entirely too long. Speaking of guests, I have one today because that's how the show works. My guest today is a freelance writer, an author, I've been told a podcaster. She is the other half of Fork and L, the podcast that you heard about just a couple episodes ago. Vic Feezy, welcome to Bite Size.
Hi, Ben. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be on and, you know, part two of the Fork and L feature, I guess.
Yeah, it's incredible. it's so nice to have both of you now. We had our technical difficulties, but we're here.
Yeah, we did. We had a few, but we're here now.
Oh, man. It took us like a whole 20 minutes to set up a transatlantic recording session. Oh, how inconvenient.
I know, right? It's a bit... That's the thing, like... You always think it's going to be way easier than it is. You think we're in, you know, 2024, we're in a modern world. Mm-hmm. We kind of hope that we can plug in and get on with things, but apparently we couldn't. But we're here now and we're all ready to go.
The thing we're doing that was not possible 30, 40 years ago.
I know.
It didn't happen fast enough. How inconvenient.
How rude.
But yeah. As you say, we are here to talk Twilight, so let's go ahead and get into that. By Vic, I'm going to ask you the first question I ask in every episode of the show. Yes. What is your history with the Twilight franchise?
I remember being in sixth form, so I think I was like 17 at the time. Mm-hmm. 16, 17. And I just remember hearing a lot about it. And we had a library there.
Yeah.
And it was just constantly being checked out. So I was like, right, I'm going to put my name down. I'll grab it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always liked reading and stuff, so I was like, okay, it's, you know, I didn't really know that much about it. I just knew it was a pretty big, it was something that a lot of people were reading, so I was like, okay, I'll get involved. And yeah. Then as soon as I started reading it, I was pretty much obsessed pretty quick.
Yeah.
And then as soon as, I think it was around the time that the film was coming out, so I think that was why there was a bit more buzz there.
Sure, that makes sense.
And I'm one of those people, I am... that person who's very much like, well, if there's a book, I want to read the book first.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of got involved that way, and then it kind of went on from there, really. And here we are at 32 years old, both having a podcast.
Yeah, still into it.
Yeah.
Did the fandom, did the love for it ever fade away, or have you just been consistently a Twilight fan since sixth form?
I've definitely always worn my favourites on my sleeve, as it were. I think it's not something I tend to hide. Obviously, Laura spoke about our mutual love for all things Lara Croft and Tomb Raider. That's very, very prevalent in my life.
Yeah.
How I Met My Partner and everything. So, you know, I'm sat in our office right now and it's just Lara everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of Twilight, I think, sadly, I did have that little wane away from it. I think, again, as you get older, it's sort of... It's never been, I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, something that's been really, really cool. And I think there was a time when it was like, oh God, like, you know, like we said on our podcast, we were like, oh, you like Twilight. And I think, again, as you get older, you care less and less about people's opinions and whatever, and then you sort of fall in love with it again and kind of accept it for what it is. So I think I definitely had that kind of dip.
Outside of its intended fan base, really, Twilight has never been cool for varying reasons. Like, at first, when it first came out, there was definitely the big backlash of, like, meh, Twilight's for girls or whatever. And I feel like now it's very much a, oh, Twilight, that thing from 15 years ago, you're still into that?
Mm-hmm.
Though it is getting its reevaluation now, that's still primarily among the people who were into it then. And in a larger, broader sense, it hasn't had that sort of renaissance that it's experiencing within the fan base.
Sort of in lockdown, I think, obviously, when it went on to more streaming services, I think that's when people kind of unpacked the memories with it and all of that sort of thing.
That's been a very common story on my show, is guests saying, yeah, I loved it at the time and then forgot about it until lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think for me personally, it's kind of been sort of always percolating in the background, even though when I got into my own kind of fiction writing kind of journey, it wasn't something that I wanted to go along with the whole fantasy genre. It's never actually been a thing that I've enjoyed. But reading Twilight at that age, it sort of made me want to try and write, because I think with Stephanie Meyer's story of having that dream of Bella and Edward in the meadow, I was like, well, I have these kind of little scenes in my own mind. I'm like, well, if she can kind of do this whole thing, then it kind of sparked that idea of why can't I? So that kind of actually got me into the writing side of it. And then that kind of, again, here we are with it. So I think it's always kind of churned in the back of my head of something that I've held pretty close to me and I've always liked it, even if, you know, many people don't. But I don't think for me personally that it's had the same treatment as, say, certain things like Harry Potter's had, Lord of the Rings has had, where it's kind of always bobbed along, as it were. I think it's kind of been like spiked, don't like it, you should be ashamed. And then it's like, oh, actually, it's, you know, it's okay sort of thing. So it's kind of hit the roller coaster with it, I think.
It's interesting to hear you have a much more normal, I guess. Your Twilight experience it sounds a lot like what I've heard from other people on this show, except for some reason your co-host Laura, who came upon Twilight in the most roundabout way through Paramore and made it seem like no one, at least in her part of the UK, had ever heard of Twilight until this weird sort of investigation. She uncovered it through the soundtrack or whatever. Right. So I guess we're just learning that Laura grew up under a rock or something. And
She's definitely in a little Paramore rock.
Yeah.
If Hayley Williams had to get her out of it, that's fine. We're here now. Yeah. But for me, it was a bit of a different thing. I think it was, again, like what she was saying, it was still a very small thing. Like when I went to go and see it at the cinema, it was in one of the really small screens. It wasn't a big thing. And then when it came to kind of DVD, as it were.
Yeah.
I was telling my friends, I was like, you need to read it, you need to watch it. And then when New Moon came out, it was a whole different thing.
Right.
And you know, you're kind of going into the cinema to book your tickets, and then it's in the biggest screen on all day for like 2 weeks straight. And it's a completely different experience, really.
Do you know other people like in your day-to-day life that are or were Twilight fans?
Oh yeah, some of my very, very best friends are Twilight fans. Mm-hmm. After like sort of kind of introducing them to it, and I'm like, no, trust me, you're gonna love it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a friend's favourite of ours. We, Emily and Tasha, a couple of my best friends, we went to go and watch Twilight in concert in London in, I think it was November, was it? Or October last year with the live orchestra.
Is that
orchestra.
One of those where they show the movie and the soundtrack is by the orchestra? Okay.
And it was had all these like candles. It was really, really nice. Mm-hmm. And I think it was quite, I'm a very, very mushy person when it comes to my friends. So I think it was nice to be able to experience that first film with them in that way when I didn't go with them initially.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool to see it on that much of a scale. And then obviously to have Ashley and Kellen sat like two rows in front of us that we didn't realize.
Wow.
Yeah, they sort of spun around and Kellen was like, don't tell anyone. And we were like, oh my God.
I feel like I see that like Kellen Lutz shows up at he must spend so much of his time just traveling the world looking for Twilight events to just sort of show up at unannounced.
They were at the Comic-Con in London.
Yeah.
And said to my friends as a thing, I was like, I bet they'll turn up. And they were like, no, they won't. And then we were actually supposed to be right at the top of the event in. Like, we got the seats literally on the back row. And then I don't know who was looking after us that day in other realms.
Yeah.
But one of the stewards came and was like, you know, are you friends? And there was like us three and another three women next to us. And we were like, yeah, we're all friends. And then they moved us right down to the front. And then lo and behold, we're sat two rows behind them too. So it was a bit of a strange evening to kind of sit there as a initial fan. And then you're sort of sat here in your 30s, like, what is my life right now?
There was a Twilight parody musical here in Chicago just a couple months ago. And then
I saw the memes and the clips.
I saw they posted on their social media that Kellen Lutz went to one of the shows.
That.
Just in their little Chicago like storefront theater. And it just makes me wonder, like, does Kellen Lutz spend his time? It makes me wonder, like, is Kellen Lutz here right now watching me do this? Like,
maybe.
Kellen Lutz, if you would like to, if you're listening, you apparently keep up with Twilight very well. If you want to be on the show, reach out.
Well, that would be amazing. Ultimate crossover.
That would be incredible. Speaking of podcasts, you have one of your own.
Yes.
You have a Twilight podcast. For the listener who maybe hasn't heard Laura's episode, how would you describe Four Canal?
I would describe Four Canal as two 30-somethings just getting all into Twilight and just having some fun with it, not taking it too
seriously.
Oh, you
mean what we're doing right now?
Yes, exactly what we're doing right now. And continuing to have just as much fun. We sort of do reviews, obviously not, you know, mega, mega serious ones, but we do our reviews and our watch-alongs and we sort of focus and zoom in on certain topics that we want to talk about and then, you know, go off on tangents about God knows what, airports and boy bands, probably. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just fun. And I think now that, you know, like we said before, and I know Laura said it, mm-hmm. you kind of strip away that you don't really care anymore.
Yeah.
And you like what you like and you just want to have some fun with it. And I think that's what we kind of aim to bring with it. We don't want to be so bullet point serious with everything. So hopefully that comes across too.
You now have the confidence of an adult and not a high school student trying to justify, you know, defend every decision of everything you like.
Absolutely.
Well, now that we're about halfway through the episode, let's get into...
I told you I ramble, Ben. I'm sorry.
No, and I told you. I appreciate that.
Good.
So let's get into the scene. I'll give you a brief overview, and then we will dive on into it. Bella and Edward pull up at a restaurant in Port Angeles. Angela and Jessica are walking out, apparently having just eaten. They talk for a little bit. It's all very awkward and giggly, and then they go their separate ways. That's it. Let's get into the nitty-gritty deep dive into the episode.
Let's do it.
I want to talk a lot about the restaurant that they're at. It's a blink and you miss it kind of thing.
I think I know what you're going to say.
The name of the restaurant is the Bloated Toad. Which, I gotta say, as restaurant names go, not a good one.
Awful name.
You've got two words in that name. And I'd say bloated is maybe the one thing you don't want to feel when you're leaving a restaurant.
No.
And a toad is quite possibly the least appetizing animal, known for being slimy and covered in warts. I did a deep dive into the name, the Bloated Toad, because I just can't believe... I want to understand why it is that. It's not real, for starters. That's not a real restaurant.
Mm.
It is a house somewhere in Oregon that was converted into a restaurant. It's also not the name of the restaurant in the book. In the book, it's called Bella Italia, which is a little on the nose that you're sending your character Bella to a restaurant called Bella. Mm. So then who came up with the name The Bloated Toad? And why was that person not shot down immediately?
Or knighted, because it's kind of brilliant in a really weird way.
Well, we don't knight people here in America.
No.
What's the closest thing we have to knighting here in America? I don't know. We let you be a judge on American Idol. That's what happens when you get knighted
here. Yes. There you go. I mean, this is not as good as, really, I suppose.
Yeah. As much as this is something that is not in the book, you will blink and miss it type of deal. So much effort went into developing the Bloated Toad. There is a sign with a toad on it. Angela and Jessica are standing in front of like a giant gold toad statue.
I feel like it's ingrained in my mind because it's one of my favorite moments, and the Bloated Toad has always been something that I'm like, oh my god, Bloated Toad. So, and this is what I mean, you know, what we've been talking about earlier and on Four Canal is that even after all these years, you still find things out. I never knew that it was, you know, not an actual restaurant. So that's my thing I've learned today, Ben. So thanks.
You're welcome. You learn something new every day, especially here on Bite Size. Yeah, I got to say, Bloated Toad, it's supposed to be an Italian restaurant they're going to. Mm-hmm. Bloated Toad does not scream Italian to me.
No.
It in fact has a quite British feel to it.
It's very gastropubby.
Very pub. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really just hung up on the toad statue outside the front, because there is where
so cute.
Did they already have that and we're looking for a way to justify it? Did they come up with this joke name for the restaurant and then just have to then acquire a toad statue to put? I don't know. I don't
understand.
There's
so much to unpack. There's so many more questions than answers, I feel like.
And we haven't even gotten 1 second. This is essentially the first frame of the scene that we're unpacking here. It's covered in Christmas lights.
Love it.
Decoratively, just a lot going on at the Bloated Toad.
There's so much. And I think as well, do I say it this... Well, I say we're early on. I've been talking quite a lot, but
say it.
I'm like, you know, It's one of the few scenes without that blue filter on it.
Oh.
Ring the bell.
There it is. I completely forgot about it. I had to go and find it. But yes, gotta say, this scene, not that blue. I would say it's yellow more than anything else. Maybe that's because it is nighttime and it's hard to turn darkness blue. If you really squint and try to look, you could maybe find a little blueness to it. But it is, you're right, I would say decidedly yellow.
I mean, I have my own little, A-level drama theory behind it.
Okay, well then let's hear it.
One of the reasons why it's one of my favourite moments, I think, is because you're so zoomed in on. Obviously, I know it's not our scene that we're talking about today, but the scene coming up is when he sort of dives into a little bit more about who he actually is and what he actually is. I think it's one of those moments where you kind of zoom in on their blossoming relationship. And I think for those kinds of moments, especially, I guess, what we'll talk about in a minute, is how they're looking at each other. I think it just takes away and strips away the sort of more fantasy elements of it with having these warmer tones. I know that might sound a bit too, like I'm reaching a bit too far there.
No, that makes sense. I mean, my theory has always been simpler than that, which is just they are trying to convey how cold and wet this place is, and cold things and water are traditionally blue. So you're just going hard on that color. I don't know.
Yeah.
But not this one, because there's not a lot here to make blue. It's very yellow, like the sign and the statue of the frog and the Christmas lights.
So bronzy. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Angela and Jessica are there. They're leaving the restaurant. And the first thing they do is apologize for not waiting for Bella.
Hey, you guys, I'm sorry.
Where were you? We left you messages.
Yeah, we waited, but we were, like, starving, so we...
And this is my second big bone to pick with this scene.
Yeah.
Because they talk about how they waited and they left messages for Bella. They could not have waited that long.
No.
Port Angeles, not a large town. I've been there.
I was going to ask you because it's in my notes. I was like, surely it's not that big.
It's not. Fortunately, I can testify. I have not spent a lot of time there, but I've driven through it. My wife and I, when we started dating early on, went to Seattle one year for her birthday and took the drive out to Forks. On the way there, you pass through Port Angeles, and we sort of did a couple laps through the downtown area. And there's no way that, like, you know, if both groups start at the dress shop and then Bella goes to the bookstore and then gets lost in the smoky parking lot and then gets picked up by Edward and driven to the restaurant. Those events all happen within maybe a half mile of each other and could not have taken more than 45 minutes.
I mean, with all due respect, how many bookstores are there in Port Angeles?
Probably not that many. There was only one she wanted to go to that based on the map that we see a couple scenes ago is like square in the middle of downtown.
Yeah.
Port Angeles.
I'm with you on this. I mean, like we said, I know they left messages, but I don't know. I think it's shoddy behavior at best from her.
I agree.
Closest friends, and I'm sort of they could have done a bit more to check on her, especially because they knew that she was kind of disinterested about the whole prom thing.
Right.
She wanted to go to the bookshop, and that's all she wanted to do. So I'm like, it's been ages. Go and do a recce and see what she's doing or whatever.
It hasn't even been ages. Like think my theory is they didn't call her at all.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just saying that because that's kind of what I would do in that situation. If I was out with a group of friends and one person split off to do their own thing, I would say, sorry. And these are teenagers. These are high schoolers. I'm sure they have a curfew. It's a long drive back to Forks. They probably have to get home before too long. It's dark out.
It is.
Yeah.
And you don't know who's lurking, which proves the point of you should have checked on her.
That's true.
Sorry.
No, don't.
I'm way too overprotective of a friend in reality to be behaving in this way. I'm sorry.
No.
I don't agree with it.
It's a good thing Edward was there.
Yes. What a stroke of luck that was.
Angela and Jessica definitely were not. They were definitely ready to move on for dinner. Again, I would probably do the same thing, but I'm still going to blame them.
100%.
They're walking out. Edward walks up with Bella, and things instantly get weird and giggly in a way that I thought was fun.
Yeah,
I agree. That sort of little tittering because, our friend is talking to a boy. It's classic high school activity.
And the boy.
Yes.
As well.
Weird, handsome boy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems like they are all simultaneously attracted to and like weirded out by Edward.
Yeah.
You'd think they'd be asking Bella, like, why him? But they seem happy that she's found someone, and that's good. Good supportive friends that abandon her, but are still like to see what's going on.
And are initially quite bitter about the situation. I do like this moment because I think, you know, when Bella comes into shot, she kind of rushes up to them to kind of explain or, you know, find out what's going on. And as soon as Edward walks into frame and starts speaking and telling them what his version of events is, which we obviously know is not true, the mood instantly changes and it just diffuses the situation between the girls completely.
I'm sorry I kept Bella from dinner. We just sort of ran into each other and got talking.
Yeah. No, we totally understand. I mean, that happens, right?
We were
just leaving. Bella, if you want to...
I think if Edward wasn't there, then there would have been a different conversation had.
Right.
However, as soon as he's there, Jess and Angela both go kind of to jelly a little bit, and they're like, oh, okay. And it's a whole different thing.
Yes, and are immediately like apologetic and clearly like trying to get out of there quickly because they don't want to ruin Bella's date this, I guess, is turning out to be, which was fun, which is like, again, a very, very high school activity.
Yes.
The kind of thing that I definitely did for friends of mine of like, yep, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you get this set up and then I'm going to get out of here.
There's so much sort of telepathic conversation going on there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that's, it sounds like an oxymoron, but there's so much that's said that's unspoken.
Yeah.
And I think, especially around someone that you like, and it's like, oh my God.
I think I should make sure Bella gets something to eat, if you'd like. I'll drive you home myself.
That's so thoughtful. It's really thoughtful. Yeah.
Yeah. I should eat something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
so
yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow. Okay.
See ya.
Okay.
And I just always think, obviously we're never going to see that, but when they sort of titter off at the end, I'm always like, what is that car ride like with Jess and Angela? I bet that car ride home is just gossip city.
Oh, 100%. Especially like as I said, Edward is definitely like the weird boy, and Bella's the new girl. So you know they're spending the entire drive back to Forks talking about what just happened and
100%.
This incredible new gossip that they have, and we'll be following up on that as soon as they can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As Bella crosses over to kind of Edward's side as well, how they're kind of reacting to her actually taking the steps and Bella and Edward looking at each other. It's just all so high school OMG moment, and I love how much that's driven home in this tiny scene.
I had a friend this was not in high school. We were high school age, but this happened in a church. In between the church service and the Sunday school, me and my two friends, one male, one female, would like walk together to a certain point and then go our separate ways. And I wanted to ask this girl out, and so I told my buddy, hey, I'm gonna do something. I wanna ask her out. Just sort of go. Just leave immediately. And he like we got to the point where we all split up, and he like very obviously faked like his phone wasn't even ringing. He just picked it up and just said,
"Love that.
Hey, gotta get out." Yeah, it was great. And that's what this scene reminds me of, that young enthusiasm that we 30 somethings have since lost.
Mm-hmm. It's there's so much take the hint in that moment, and it's like, yeah, okay, go then, bye.
With a little bit of like, oh, I have information now.
Oh, yeah. That conversation at school the next day would be rife.
100%. The lunch table is going to be all over this.
And I'm already at this point worrying about Mike. You know, this is going to ruin him at this point.
Yeah.
But all of them.
You know.
Yeah.
But then he gets to wind up with Jessica.
That's true.
And as much as we love our main character, I think that's... I think that's the better of the two deals.
It makes more sense.
It does. For him, I think he's better off with Jessica.
Yeah. 100%. But yeah. Wow. No, we won't. We won't go there. I always do that. I'm like, let's talk about the next movie. Like,
oh, no, we can. No,
what
about the next movie?
I still think after the whole Mike and Jess thing with prom, it's kind of like, if my memory serves me, they're not mm-hmm. really a thing after that. You know, he's still very much pining for Bella. And it's like, at this point, you know, I know he thinks his chances are in. Spoiler, yeah. That Edward's kind of gone. But, you know, it's like, Mike, come on.
I guess you're right. The first half-ish of New Moon is basically just Mike and Jacob competing for Bella. So, mm-hmm. poor Mike, I guess. Never,
again.
You know, he'll go to college. He'll do fine.
He'll be fine.
He'll move on. I did not spend very long in a relationship with the girl I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Mike too will grow up and move on and realize that there is someone out there even better for him. And mm-hmm. maybe it's a good thing he didn't wind up with Bella, because they clearly want different things.
100%. And hindsight is a beautiful thing.
So it really
is. Maybe like 30-year-old Mike is like, do you know what? That was the best choice.
Yeah, he's going to think about Bella, who's probably not on social media.
Oh, absolutely not. No.
No, definitely. There's no way for him to, like, Instagram stalk her or anything. But he's, you know, going to think on what he's heard about her since the last time they spoke and the way their paths have diverged. And he's going to think it's a good thing we never got started, because it would never have ended well.
No, but I do think when he's doing the washing up, he probably thinks about her a little bit.
And that's like a lesson for all you high schoolers out there who are listening to this.
Yes.
Don't worry. Yeah, you're going to be fine. You'll find another one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you had to give this scene a name, what would it be? And this is also going to be the name of the episode, so make it good. And you told me before we started recording that you'd been thinking about this.
I did.
So it better be extra good.
Okay, no pressure. Well, obviously, we've had a conversation about how much I clearly love the bloated toad. So I was like, I need to put the bloated toad in there. So I've called it a bloated toad surprise.
A bloated toad surprise. What is the surprise to you? No, I like it.
The surprise is Bella and Edward have rocked up. We've had the surprise meeting and the gossip side of it. I think that was a surprise, but I didn't want to go on too long with the whole bloated toad thing.
For me, the bloated toad surprise, it's a bit of a tongue twister, and I like that. But to me, the surprise that the name of the restaurant is the bloated toad, because that makes sense.
And that. And, you know, if we circle back to the start, me learning that it just never existed. So that's a surprise for us both and the characters.
This name you came up with has so many meanings.
So
it's
many
incredible.
Layers.
So perfect, so appropriate. Vic Feezy, if people want to learn more about you, maybe follow you and or your podcast on social media, where can they do so?
They can do that on Instagram at forkinellpod. So it's forkinellpod.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we're English and we like to do things a little bit awkwardly there.
Yes.
And I am on, well, I'm not really on it that much anymore, but you can find me on Twitter or X or whatever it's called, at the_Feez, PHEASE. That's right, yeah. I can't spell that, man. Even my own name.
Tells you how much time you spend on Twitter there.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah.
You can kind of find my gaming muses and reviews at Play Magazine. So I think you can kind of get that over there, overseas.
Okay.
So if you just look for Play Magazine, which is a PlayStation-led magazine, I'm normally in there. Or you can go on my site, victoriafeezy.wordpress.com, for some writing stuff and other links that I've written for gaming websites elsewhere, if you want to know what I think about The Sims, which I do go on about quite a lot.
Okay, good to know. From what I understand, there's a big overlap between Sims fans and Twilight fans.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that since we've kind of been within the community. It seems like a bit of a marriage made in heaven, to be fair. So that's why you kind of like it so much.
Interesting. Bella is a Sim, basically.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
If you want to follow this show on social media, you can do so at BitesizePod_ on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. As mentioned in the past couple episodes, I've been getting really into YouTube and TikTok nowadays, taking short minute-long clips of this show and uploading them there, sometimes with pictures, so that you can see the things we're talking about. If you would like to email the show, you can send an email to myfavoritetwilightpodcast@gmail.com. Sorry, Vic.
I love it. It's the best one.
Thanks. It's long and unwieldy and surprisingly easy to remember.
Yet memorable, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of emails, I've got one here I want to read out. This is from listener and past guest Lily Ludwig, who said, I recently re-listened to Bite Size episode 21. You and Austin spend a while wondering what the the point was, if, including Bella tripping and Edward rudely saying, "Can you at least watch where you walk?" Edward's worrying about Bella's physical safety is a major theme in this series, exactly what she's doing in this scene. It's kind of his whole deal. You mentioned the parking lot scene in this episode, the last episode, but there's also him rolling up mad as hell when with the dudes on the street, hiding behind him when the baddies are in the baseball game, etc., etc. I think this is to play into the teen girl fantasy of having a hot guy care about you in a very obvious way. That's my literary analysis, at least. Okay, thank you for reading this, and also, hi, Mom. I hope your commute is going well. That is from listener and past guest and daughter of a listener, Lily. Lily, that is some astute observations you have there. Thank you for bringing that up. If you would like some bite-sized merch, I almost forgot how to say the name of my own show. I've got stickers of the show logo, selling those for $2. Send an email or a direct message to the show on social media asking about how to get that, and I'll tell you what you need to know. Thank you to my editor, Ben Oxher, for putting all this together. Thank you to the band Swimwear Department for letting me use their song Mauled to Death as our theme. And that is it. That is all the episode we have for today. As we always say at the end of every episode,
don't get bloated with toads.
Don't get bloated with toads. A new favorite. See you next time.
I don't even know what happened there. Sorry, everyone. Bye.
We waited, but we were, like, starving, so we...